preventing you from going outside the continental U.S. And
oh,
to
yeah.
You wanted to stay in Montreal, but you couldn't go, so they brought you up.
That's right. Geez, let me reconstruct this in my mind, but what really happened is I was in a service, and I applied for the naval aviation end of it, you know, in the Coast Guard. So I took several exams, passed them, and they turned around and made me a civilian to enter, to win a couple of stages, from the Coast Guard. They discharged me, made me a civilian, mm-hmm. and I was supposed to go in the Navy for naval aviation, as a naval aviation cadet. Mm-hmm. Well, processing my papers took like 3 or 4 or 5 months. So I was a civilian, which is ridiculous during a wartime. So I immediately went to the Dodger front office and explained the whole thing to him. And Branch Rickey Jr. was in charge, and he says, we're glad to see you. Cripes, he says, we need ball players. He says, how about playing with us down in one of the minor league clubs? I said, anywhere, I just don't. Maybe give me a couple of bucks. I didn't care about the money. It wasn't that involved, and I just wanted to play. So sure, they sent me down to Durham, North Carolina. And Bruno Bessel was our manager. Well, lo and behold, I'm down there like for 10 days, and I'm hitting the cover off the ball. And Bruno calls Bavesi, who was at the time our manager, not the manager, but the general manager.
I thought that Bavesi was in Valdosta, Georgia at that time.
He may have been there before down. Then.
Oh, really?
He moved around the minor leagues pretty much like the minor league, like the big league ball players, you know. He's in Valdosta, and he was in Durham. From there, I think he went to Montreal, then finally made the big leagues in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Well, Bruno Bessel, our manager, approaches Bavesi and explains to him, give this kid a chance in the big leagues. You can use ball players up there. I think you play big leagues. Bavesi says, no, I don't think so. He says, but maybe we get him to Montreal. Because they need ball players. They need them all over anyway. So sure, they make all arrangements for me to leave for Montreal. And after being there 10 days, Buzzy calls me up and excuse me. He calls me up and he says, look, you're going to Montreal. I said, boy, that's terrific, you know. So he set a little salary thing. It was unimportant at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had to report to the naval station in New York, you know, my whereabouts. This was important. I had no use where I'm at. So at the time, Montreal was playing in Canada. You can't leave the country against, you know, the rules and regulations. So I'm disappointed now. I explained the whole thing to Buzzy.
So this was not a Coast Guard regulation. It was a Navy regulation.
Yeah, because I was under Navy jurisdiction.
Okay.
You know? Gee, we're going way back in 43.
It's before I saw the light of day.
Way back. So, Buzzy explains this to Branch Rickey Jr., and he says, geez, let's not send him back to Durham. He said, maybe we can get him back and, you know, get him with the Dodgers. I didn't know this. I found this out later on. So Buzzy and Branch Rickey Jr. approached the old man, Mr. Rickey. And he says, yeah, bring him up. You know, this is a story I get later. Well, I didn't know about what's going on for about 2 days because I was at home in Jersey. But lo and behold, one morning I wake up and I read the Morning Star Ledger. It says, Hermansky joins the Dodgers.
Is that a Newark paper, the Morning Star Ledger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next Star Ledger. And I was shocked, you know. I had to read 3 or 4 times. I call up the office and they tell me, yep, bring your college with you and, you know, join the Dodgers. This is like in, I think, middle of June of 43. And went in to the Ebbets Field nervously, little satch in my hand, you know, the glove and the spikes and all that. Sweatshirt and whatnot. And the first time I met DeRocher, so I called Mr. DeRocher, I'm Hermansky, and because he was aware of it by then. He's okay, kid, you know, get over there. Big John will take care of you, give you a locker and all that stuff. So that was my big chance in the big leagues.
Fine.
So a little technicality. Then they sat me at a bench for three or four days just to get me accustomed to the big league ball players. Mm-hmm. Took batting practice with them and hitting them. And I finally got into a ball game. It was the first game of a doubleheader. I didn't do too well. I had like a ground ball, struck out twice and popped up.
Who were you playing that day? You recall?
It was Cincinnati. I forget, but the... You know, no question, but I was nervous, a little tight up there, and of course we lost the first game, but I turn around and they get my name, you know, in the lineup for the second game, which is a doubleheader. I broke loose. I had a double and a single. We win the game. I helped win the game, so this kind of broke the ice for me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up hitting around 300 the rest of the year. I guess I played about close to 70 games, mm-hmm. something like that.
All right.
That was my big break.
Okay, so you finished out the 43 season, then you went into service when?
In the fall of 43 or the winter of 43. I remained in the service 2 years.
Did you go down to Pensacola? I mean, to the Navy Aviation Training?
No, this is something very interesting, too. I went up to Colgate University here in New York State, and I went to basic training there. Because I didn't last too long. I was in there about 4 or 5 weeks. I washed out.
Okay. Of aviation?
Yeah, aviation. Now, okay. See, all of a sudden, they turn around and say to me, well, we could use men like you. You got the little basic background of flying and navigation. How about being a gunner on a plane? You know what? I just, no, thank you. I just, do me a favor. The fellow I spoke to was a new lieutenant, 90-day wonder, they call him. Mm-hmm. I just, look, do me a favor. See if you can get me back in the Coast Guard. He says, that's a tall order. I just look, I came from the Coast Guard in here. I'd like to get back into it. Well, he pulled a few strings. Sure enough, he's okay. In about 3 or 4 days, he arranged for me to get back in the Coast Guard. they put me out here in Brooklyn in Floyd Benner Field, which was close to home. And I got to play semi-pro bowl with the Bushwicks, which was known as a real good semi-pro club. Getting paid for it.
Was that at Dexter Park?
Yes, Dexter Park.
And Rex Barney said you used the name of Gene Walsh.
Gene Walsh.
A pseudonym. Now, why is that? I mean, couldn't you play under the name that you would use in the majors? Or
no, I feared my commanding officer may find out. And,
oh, I see.
And you know.
So you were getting paid for this?
Yeah.
It was semi-pro, okay.
I was getting like just $50 a game. It was a lot of money those days.
Fine.
You know? So I immediately thought I'd be real smart using the assumed name, which I'm glad I did, because I'm sure if the CO found out I was playing ball, and, you know, when I should be working or in a service, and, he'd be reprimanded by someone above him, you know.
Now, where were you in the Coast Guard? Was it Manhattan Beach? Is that
Floyd Benner Field.
Oh, that's right, Floyd Benner.
Yeah, I worked with the helicopters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you spend the war there? Did you get overseas?
No.
Rode it out there,
and in February of 46, I was discharged from the Coasties. I joined Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you say that you were with the Coast Guard originally. What were the circumstances that happened? Did you enlist, or were you drafted?
No, I enlisted.
Okay, was this in 42 or early 43?
42.
Okay. Were you married at the time?
No.
Okay. Anything else interesting about your experiences with the Bushwicks? Did you play against any Negro League teams? Any Negro League stars?
It was, you know, all Negroes we played against.
Because I understand they played in Dexter Park, too.
Yeah, but that's the only clubs we played would be Negro clubs from the Negro professional leagues. They'd come in Sundays and play us a doubleheader.
Oh, I see.
See?
Did you face any important players like Josh Gibson or Satchel Paige? Did you face any of those?
Oh, Satchel Paige I faced, yeah. Uh-huh. I played against Josh Gibson. Played against Jackie Robinson, Campanella, mm-hmm. Monty Irwin, I believe. Larry Dobies, they said I played against. I don't remember him, but he played somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. And his father was just inducted in the Hall of Fame last summer. Buck Leonard, yeah. He played first base.
So you played against all those fellas.
Yeah.
You came through one by one.
Yeah, I did.
That's something.
And let me tell you an interesting thing about this. Dexter Park used to draw the crowds in. Like on a Sunday, we get 12 to 13,000 people. Believe me. And all those local fans, because they all came from Brooklyn, believe it or not, they would root against us at Dexter Park. They'd be rooting for the visiting team, which would be a Negro team. Mm-hmm. But we had a stacked team. We had real good ball players.
Who were some of the guys on the Bushwhacks
there? Let's see. Phil Rizzuto played for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the other Gordon. With the Sid. Giants, Sid Gordon. And then I had some good local talent, Al Cuccinello, his brother, Tony. No, Al. Tony was the coach mm-hmm. with Lopez, right? Mm-hmm.
Right, but I think Tony played with him for a while, too. Or
that's going way back. That's going in the 30s.
Oh, okay.
See? Yeah. But Campanis played for us, mm-hmm. Alec Campanis. And Bunch Nicola. He pitched for the Yankees.
The Red Sox, back, yeah.
Yeah. Well, these are the only guys I can think of at the moment.
But they were all there when you were there?
Yeah, they were there when I was there. And some of these fellows never played professionally, but they were real good semi-pro players. They could have played in the high minor leagues or even the major leagues. Mm-hmm. They made
it,
you know.
I understand it was a really good club. I mean, perhaps one of the best semi-pro teams
in the country.
Yeah.
I would bet it would. And we win like 7 out of 10 games. We played 10 games. We win 7 ball games. We played tough competition, mm-hmm. you know, against these Negroes.
Did Page have a lot of the ball then? I mean, could he really have it? Or do you recall?
Yeah, I recall. No. He was tough getting the base hit off him. He had what fooled me more or less was his motion. You know, he'd throw his legs up, his arms up, and then whip the ball in. You think he's falling out of a tree or something, you know? Then he give you the hesitation pitch.
Yeah.
He was tough to hit, really, with the assortment
of
what he had.
Yeah, that bag of stuff.
That's right. And he was fast, besides. Mm-hmm. He was fast. But I think he was faster, like, in the early... This guy's an old man, right? He was an old man in 1943 and 4.
Yeah.
You know?
In his late 30s, right? At least.
Oh, we're talking 30 years ago. Hell, he must have been 40 years old then.
Uh-huh.
30 years ago, I would say.
Now, you played with the Bushwhacks then the whole time you were at Floyd Bennett Field. I mean, in 44 and 45, you spent 2 years with them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, what happened when you came back in 46? Did you spend the whole 46 season with the Dodgers, or were you farmed out and then came back, or did you stay around for a while and then get farmed out?
No, we went down to West Palm Beach to train, mm-hmm. and that's where Montreal was there, and they were bringing their... getting Robinson ready for the big leagues, mm-hmm. but he played 46 in Montreal. But we played against him, and I had a good spring training. Mm-hmm. I played pretty good in spring training. In fact, I won myself a job.
A regular outfield job.
Yeah, I played right field against the Braves, you know. Mm-hmm. And let's see, the first game, yeah, I think we lost the first game. Al Gregg pitched it about 3-2. I don't know, I did it. But I started off fairly well, you know. I stayed in the lineup for about 10, 12 games. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we were playing like 500 balls, so Leo DeRocher was the manager at the time. He had other young guys beside me, so put Furlough in and I think Dick Whitman. Mm-hmm. And he kind of rotated us. And then he took me out, and Furlough got to play. He played real well. That kept me out for 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having an in-and-out year. I wouldn't play, and I'd pinch hit, and it ended up as a bad year. I hit about 215 or 220 for an average, mm-hmm. which was horrible, you know.
Well, back in those days.
Yeah, so the following spring was 47. We trained in Havana, Cuba, and I knew right then and there if I didn't look good in spring training, I'd be out of a job with the Dodgers, and perhaps go to Montreal, which I didn't want to do.
Well, let's backtrack for a minute. Does any member of that 43 club stand out in your mind? There were some characters on that club, some very famous ball players.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I don't remember too many incidents, but we had, as you know, Gil Hodges joined the club. He was there, and Howie Schultz, Rex Barney, Hal Gregg.
Yeah, I think he and Barney came up at the same time.
Same time, yeah. And I think was it Vince Lombardi?
Gene
Mock. What Lombardi? That wasn't Vince the football.
Vic.
Vic Lombardi.
Bobo Newsom was with the Dodgers that year. Do you have any interesting stories about him?
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, not too much. You know why? Because I really reminisce about those days. It was one of those pockets in my lifetime I didn't remember too much about, because I never talked about it too much, you know? When you keep talking about incidents and experiences over and over again, they come back to you quickly.
Sure, well, it's only natural that you discuss teams like the 47
team. Yeah, you know.
Because that's when the Dodgers had really assembled a great outfit.
And these are my nursery year in 43 there and with the Dodgers. But you remember Bobo? Remember Camilli was there for a little bit.
Yeah, Don Camilli.
He was traded while I was there. And Bobo Newsom and of course Dixie Walker. And a little pug-nosed center fielder, short guy from Canada.
Augie Gallant.
No, Augie Gallant was there. Yeah.
Frenchie Bordigeret.
But he was there. You're getting all those names together, you're right.
I've got my handy dandy.
Goody
Rosen.
Goody Rosen.
Yeah,
Goody Rosen, the guy I'm trying to think of.
What kind of a guy was he? You say he was a small guy?
Oh, a little Jewish boy, a lot of fun. I always think he bits around with him. Yeah, he was small. I bet he was 5'7", 145, 150.
No kidding, that's all.
Yeah. But he moved real good at the time.
What kind of a fellow was he? Happy-go-lucky, quiet,
dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
Always smoked cigars, had a pug nose. In fact, he was my roommate there for a while in 1947. We roomed together.
I think Archie Bond was with that club for a while.
Yes, you're right. Now you're bringing back something to me. I can remember... In 1943, when I played the Dodgers, Archie Vaughn was playing shortstop, and Art Dugout was at the first base.
Reputation was being real swinger.
Well, what little I know about him, good pitcher, and he's a real happy-go-lucky kind of a guy, you know. And I can remember one incident, he got paid, and I guess he was saving his dollars, but somewhere along the line, he ended up having $2,000 in his pocket. He said, geez, I'm going to have a hell of a time with this thing. You know, go to the racetrack and chase strange girls and all that stuff. We're going to have a good time. You know, I didn't join him, of course. He would be his own little clique with the Augie Gallant and Billy Herman, Hugh Casey. This is a group he associated with. I was just a kid, you know.
Sure.
So you meet him at the ballpark, say hello to you, and that was it. Once we left, everybody took off their own way.
How about Whit Wyatt? What do you remember about Wyatt? What kind of a guy was he? Very good pitcher.
Yeah. Real nice guy.
Real nice guy.
No, on the contrary. Very quiet, unassuming. And he did help the young guys a lot. Mm-hmm. I know he helped me. Just, you're in the big leagues now. It's not as tough as you think it is. Just, you know, don't get nervous and stuff like that.
How about Billy Herman?
He's just the opposite. He had those beady big eyes, and he would some of the opposing ball players started calling him Hermansky, which annoyed him, I think, a little bit. He said, I'm not Hermansky, there he is over there, I'm Herman, you know.
Yeah.
So
was his original name Hermansky?
No.
I see.
Just
Herman.
Yeah, it was just Herman. They used to give him the needle, call him Hermansky. But he just loved to play baseball. He was a real good ball player.
Yeah.
And he would love to have somebody give him the signs from second base.
Oh, really?
Oh, you know, if he knew what was coming up.
Okay, if he was hitting, he wanted signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to work on that a little bit with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And whenever he got the signs, he'd get three, four, five hits. He was fantastic. There's a guy who would hit 600 in the major leagues if he knew what was coming up. No question about it.
Yeah. I think Paul Wehner was on that club, at least for a while. Now, was he there when you joined?
Yeah, he was there a short time. I vaguely remember Paul.
A lot of men have told me that he played drunk in his later years, so that's the only way he could relax. Was he south?
I would say drunk. He had a stimulant or two, you
okay.
know?
Yeah.
But he wouldn't waver, or, you know, his eyes would be a little glassy. But did they have Dentine at the time, or Did they have soap at the time? I don't know. Any mouthwash? But now I was aware of it because they told me. I wouldn't have known it
yeah.
if I wasn't. They wouldn't. People didn't tell me. Oh, wait a minute, you have a few little snorts now. Watch him hit that ball.
Line drives?
Yeah, real good hitter. He's a good instructor.
Mm-hmm. What about Luis Oldham?
Yeah.
He was on that 43 club. I guess he wasn't draftable because he was from Puerto Rico.
That's right. He played 43, 4, 5, I guess.
Yeah, he played right through him and went to the Mexican
league. Yeah.
Pascal.
Oh, he's a... No, he's a real... happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Most of the ball players were that way. There are very few very serious players. Like a guy like Marv Rackley, he was very serious. And, you know, he ended up being a minister or something, you know.
Okay.
That was his cup of tea.
How about Bragan? Did you associate at all with him? I understand he's a very brainy individual. He takes
yeah.
a casual approach to the game.
he was very brainy, I thought. And I can't think of any immediate incidents, but... he's very outspoken, and he's an extrovert, and he had some good ideas in baseball. Like this pinch hitting idea, I think this is basically his idea years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So some changes
you mean
in baseball.
Designated
yeah, that's right. Things like that.
If I'm not mistaken, the Dodgers had a pitcher, I'm not sure if it was in 43, I know he played with him in 44, and Tom Sunkel had one eye. Did you know something?
No, I never met him.
How about a fellow named Tommy Warren, who I think was badly injured at Casablanca?
He was an Indian, I think. He was an Indian boy,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Warren. Yeah, he's near 43.
And there was another one who had an infirmity of some sort named Wafer? Wager? Something like that.
Oh, hell. I remember Warren. I think Warren was an Indian boy.
Yeah.
Got Indian blood in him. Remember Cal McLish?
Yes.
He came up.
He was another Indian.
Yeah. Well, what a name. He has like five first names. Tallahassee and... Oh, I don't know. I can't think.
It's a real wild one, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's still active. He's coaching for Montreal.
Well, I hope to get him and Gene Brockman through Philadelphia. I wasn't able to get them last summer. There's several wartime ballplayers who are in the National League management.
Yeah. Gene's a real nice guy. You shouldn't have any problem with him.
Good.
Or McLish.
You know? How about Kurt Davis? Do you remember anything about him?
The pitcher?
Yeah.
Underhand, yeah, underarm, underhand, I think.
Really, through underhand?
I think he was underhand, yeah. Oh, no, sidearm, excuse me. Sidearm pitcher. He was there in 43.
I'll just mention some other names if I have a handy-dandy roster.
Yeah, I see you have right there, huh?
If you're... remember anything interesting about them? Al Glossop? He came over from the Phils. He and Berton were the second baseman for the 42 Phillies, then he came to the Dodgers.
What year? Yeah, Alex.
43.
Glossop, huh? How about that?
Joe Medwick was on the club for a while.
Yeah?
Then he got sent to the Giants, I think. Ed Head? McGee Owen?
Ed Head was there in 46.
Yeah,
Mickey Owen.
Yeah.
Let me think. Well, you're going way back for me. way
that
back there.
That was the beginning. Did you have the feeling that you were on cloud nine while you were there?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
What was Durham? Class B?
Yeah, Class B boy. You're right.
Straight up to the big time.
To big time, like, you know, overnight.
Yeah.
I really was. But I was surprised. I was so relaxed. The thing that kept me relaxed was the fact that in a very short time, I'd be back in the service.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, I kind of don't give a damn attitude, you know.
You just hung loose.
Huh? Yeah. Then when I went back in 46, I realized I was in the big leagues, and things changed a little bit.
Fine.
But,
okay. Well,